Back to Tesh Matters with Jeff Boggs. Phone lines are open. Reach out and touch Jeff at 367-1240.
And we welcome you back. My pleasure to welcome back to the show, New Iberia Mayor Freddie DeCourt. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, sir.
Always appreciate your coming by. I know it's a busy week going on from one to another, it seems.
Jumping from all kind of stuff. We have a lot of things. We're blessed. We have a lot of things going on. Spanish delegation's in. The mayor of Aluin de Torres brought 18 people.
Excellent.
Went to a little function last night. I've got something almost every day. Wrapping up with a dinner at my house on Sunday. But great to see that. We're talking. Of course, we have an interpreter. We're talking back and forth about other ways to, you know, partner and to keep this very long relationship going. So that's fun. The festival has tons of things going. A delegation from the Atchafalaya Heritage that we got some money from, as well as members of the Main Street program who run it for the state. They're in this afternoon, and there's a band playing at George Rodriguez and a little dinner for them. I got to pop by there. So it's busy. You know, we in festival season. We're also in grant season. That a lot of things are popping up for us to apply for grants to kind of keep some of that good mojo going. Had some meetings on that this morning. I just left going to the old public works and hunting down 12 or 13 pallets of bricks that were put there when I was the mayor pro tem. When we saved from completely razing the steamboat pavilion and did the work to save that, keep that in the city system, not sell it, and then design and build a steamboat pavilion. I had almost forgot that we had saved some bricks, and I kept racking my brain because we're about ready to put, won't be long, the contractors will be ready for bricks, and so I think it's really cool to put those bricks back where they came from.
Absolutely.
So we had to go on a little field trip this morning and hunt up some bricks.
Well, you said the old public
works. Yeah, it's one of the other old facilities that the city still has.
Is that where sandbags are?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, went to look at all that this morning. This is busy. Busy time. It's good.
Did I see a new Bulloney Plaza sign out front?
Yes. Those signs have been in, and they've been slowly, methodically going to each park and putting them, you know, every couple of months they put a sign up. And so that one went up, so that was part of kind of marking. We had parks that had no signage, no, people didn't even know what the names were. They were just making them up. So all the parks have signage now. So that went up. Of course, you know, a couple weeks ago, James Lee Burke went up, so they painted the base this week. We wanted to wait till after the festival and the unveiling because it just got too cramped for time. I needed that paint to cure, so I saw they painted the base this week. And
was there going to be some landscaping around there,
yes,
too,
I think you said? The next phase will be, we have a little money left, and the next thing we'll do is do some landscaping kind of around the entire slab. But, you know, just a lot going on. It's good. It's fun to be the mayor.
Long meeting.
I
picked up about
an
hour and 45 minutes of it. Let's pour into that.
Yeah, let's roll into it.
Especially some of that later stuff that I didn't get to share.
Yeah, that's the big discussions.
Yeah. So you had a couple of people address the council, and Warren White announced his candidacy for District 2. He's been active as part of the West End community.
For a very long time. So he's running. I think this is the first time he runs for public office. So he made his announcement, and that was good.
Dean and Catherine Watney, big advocates for mental health awareness, talked about the Bayou Side Run coming up, I think, May 4th, if I remember right, is Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yes, they've done a great job for a whole number of years. They've been coming, and that's been kind of their torch to bear, and they do a great job.
Zach Mitchell announcing, addressed the council, talking about the National Day of Prayer, and
yes.
Sheriff Tommy Romero discussing the parish-wide. Again, we've heard a lot about the road tax that the parish parish government is pushing for, and that is only unincorporated parts of the parish, but this one would be parish-wide, including the municipalities, law enforcement district proposition.
Yes.
Seemed to be fairly well received by the council. What do you think the voters will do?
You know, I never can predict that. I never know. I laugh and say that's why there's a curtain, because they're going to do whatever they're going to do, which is our system. Number two, I kind of quit. Look, I've had some results I didn't expect, both in the positive and the negative. So I learned a long time ago not to really, you know, speculate on how things are going to work out or not work out. I leave that to fate. I've been there myself more than once, and well, you know, with our road tax, we went after it twice, and it wasn't a new, and it's really neat. On the same agenda, we took the steps to pay off the sewer millages that I promised we would. People just sometimes don't realize how long things take. So we advertised for that last year. We, you know, put my desk out, did what I needed to do, took my lick the first time, came back for round two. We got it passed, so that was November, you know. Then you come all the way till now. This is the first time that we could, by paperwork, by just eligibility, by the fact that you have to let fund balances get to a certain point. There's a lot of rules. So this was the first opportunity we could pay off. So that is being paid off just like we promised. So the new millage kicks in after that. So we didn't double dip, and we did exactly what we said of trade one for the other. And 68% of the voters agreed with us. The next step of that, and we talked about that a little later in the meeting, we took the steps. Jason Akers was there to begin the process to float the bond. We had had a call with S&P because they rate you, and then by your rating is how strong they feel the bond is and your community is, in a way. And then that helps you get some points off of your interest rate, or it makes it more attractive that when people are bidding on it, if you have a really good S&P number. So we had had a call on that during the day of the council meeting on Tuesday. Did my best to do what I always do, which is sell this place. And it's not, when you love it, it's not hard to do that. But, you know, rattled off for a good while all the things that we have going and coming, and, you know, the steps we've taken to get to this point. So a couple of months, probably 2-3 months, we'll have the $16 million. And we are waiting on the engineers to finish the plans, which will probably take till the end of the year. I will have a decision to make. Do I try to put some road package together that goes out a little quicker, because I don't like the delays? On the flip side, I know that there is an economy of scale, so I'm going to weigh my options and see, you know, if we think we should do something immediate on some of the roads that, and it's always going to be the case, where you start to stop is where you run out of money. And so we do have some weird little areas that aren't finished while the rest of the road is, and it seems to be driving some of our citizens nuts. So, you know, do we spend more money to catch those and not really have a lull in our program and then bid the rest of it out? So we just have some decisions to make on that. But, yeah, a good meeting. I mean, when I got home tired, because we'll talk about it in a minute, but we had a ton of discussion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you get home and you're just worn out. Those meetings take it out of you. But I went home thinking, boy, we did some positive things in a couple of hours. Good meeting.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And again, we'll get to some of that in just a bit. Going through these ordinances, pasture millages for the next fiscal year.
Yeah, taxes will just stay exactly like they are. We didn't raise anything. That's a simple way to put it.
Yeah, another ordinance authorizing, what we just talked about.
Yes,
that's $16
million. Yep.
Another ordinance establishing a procedure for the sale or transfer or ownership of a retired police dog, and this is what...
Roof.
Yeah.
Of our dogs is older and will be retiring, and we want to be able to just shift it to a police officer to take the dog home, and we have someone who, his trainer, actually wants to adopt the dog, so this is a way to transfer, because you can't bring it to the shelter, you can't run an ad and say, come get yourself a police dog. I mean, those things are wired pretty tight. They're trained their entire lives to be a police dog. You know, you better know how to handle it, you know.
And you may not want to have any narcotics in the house.
Maybe so, you know. Yeah, I think that would, you'd never sleep, you know. You'd never sleep. That thing would be barking all night. But, yeah, so it's a kind of such a specialized breed and a specialized train, you know, the training that dog has been put through. So it needs to be a police officer that takes the dog. And this is the first time. The PD's, you know, will be 6 years old in July, so this is the first time that this has happened.
What needed to be repealed or changed?
Just our process and how we were doing it, and the fact that we didn't have anything on the books, because we hadn't had a police department in 14 years prior, so we didn't have anything on the books to transfer the dog. So we had some, and so this kind of rounded it out and gave us a proper procedure to go, because he's an asset. We spent money on him. You know,
exactly.
It's kind of like decommissioning a car or getting, you know, if you want to throw something away, there's forms you got to fill out. So this is just that version of, you know, how do we get it out of our taxpayer system?
Gotcha. How about in the future, what if the handler doesn't want it?
There are other police agencies that will have someone who is a dog person and is a canine officer. They'll take it. You know, there's a lot of steps. I mean, could the dog end up at the shelter? Yeah, unfortunately, if nobody took it. But the state does a good job of networking all the police departments. And, you know, when something comes up like this, we're pretty certain that someone's always going to take it. But I asked that question. I said, you know, what if nobody wants him? They said, well, you know, it's not a pretty. And really, they normally put him down because you can't bring it home for a pet.
You know? Gotcha. And there's ordinance about the sewer system improvements project.
Yeah, we had a $90,000 change order. We talked about that last time. Some things under Hopkins Street, which is prepping for the road program that's coming. That's the state is doing of resurfacing and some huge drainage boxes. And can't see through the asphalt. So that's $90,000 of repairs that needed to be made that were unforeseen.
Understood. Another under resolutions, the Municipal Water Pollution Prevention Audit Report. How'd that go?
They went fine, and that just documents any time we've had an inconsistency in the rules, any time we've had, let's say, a spillover, any time something has happened. We have a very aged system, so you can imagine that those things do happen, and it's just how we report it and we turn it in and how we addressed, you know, when we had an issue. And more importantly, what kind of repairs or procedures or new policies do we put in place to prevent that from happening again? And sometimes it is employee error. You know, they turn the wrong valve, to put it simple. So that you report every year, and that was our audit, and it went fine.
All right. Another resolution. In fact, a lot of discussion about the Section 8 program. New director there. How's
yes.
it going?
Yeah, she's great. She, in 2 years, added 80 families. Prior to that, we were running on we ate up our reserve and were not adding new families, and it was just kind of in limbo. And she took it, and when I interviewed her, she said, you know, I, with the background that I have, I can help. I will grow the system. So I was like, you know, if we just do anything toward the positive, I'll be happy. I never dreamed that she would add over 80 families in 2 years. And now she is upping the percentage a little bit to compete because rents have gone up. And, I mean, she's on her game. So Haley really does a good job of kind of looking at the playing field and figuring out what do we need to do to continue to grow our program. And so this was just a step that will help us be, you know, a little more competitive. The tenants, by law, pay 30%. And so of the fair market value, whatever that is, we pay the rest. We can even pay more. So this upped it to 110%, and what it does, it gives the landlords a little bit more money, so it encourages landlords to stay in our system, because our houses in Section 8, they're inspected, you know, you know the product you're getting. When our inspectors go out, if there's repairs to be made, they have to make them or they lose the program. So landlords, property owners that want to do this, you know, they have to commit to keep it to a standard. On the flip side, if they don't, they lose.
And the tenants, too.
Yes, and the tenants, too. You're exactly right. So it's a good system, and so all she's doing is making sure that we stay competitive because we don't want people to just say it's not worth it and get off the program. And for the landlords, it might not be the most money you can get in some instances for a piece of property, but, boy, you know you're going to get a check every month.
Yeah.
So she's just kind of keeping us current and fresh.
All right. And then probably more discussion on the six-month bid for supplies than I remember in 20-plus years.
I don't remember any discussion on bids for supplies. Okay, but we had a little discussion. What happens if nobody bids? Blah, blah, blah. I saw some sections nobody bid. It was fun. But and that's just kind of something government has to do to stay legal. It's to meet our procurement requirements.
There you go. And resolution, I know you hope never to need these services, but Bayard Habits and Associate for debris monitoring services. This would be mainly in hurricane events.
Yeah, hurricane
kind of
or tornado, yeah. Natural disaster where I can get refunded at least partially by FEMA, and they do a great job. I mean, these people document the streets before our trucks get on them. We've had issues almost every cleanup that someone will call and say, you cracked my driveway or you broke the street in front of my house or whatever. And they can produce pick and have got me, you know, the city out of a pickle where we were like, no, it was like that. Well, you know, word is nothing if you don't have a picture. And so they do a great job of that. They do a great job of every dump truck is inspected. If it's not something that should go in the dump truck, it can't. If it wasn't generated from the storm, because you end up with a lot of people trying to take advantage of getting rid of stuff because they see dump trucks. They document, they quantify the, you know, every load because we get paid per you know, per volume, and they do a great job. So that was to get them in line in our yearly prep. We do that every 2 years, actually, but we have a – this is the time of year that we go through our check sheets and kind of get ready for, you know, hurricane season and, you know, whatever's going to come our way. The next meeting, I'll need to bring the debris. We had taken bids on that, so I'll be bringing that to the following meeting.
Okay. And let's see, one other resolution, I believe, authorizing the redemption of certain maturities of we've already talked
paying
about
the
this
sewer
one.
Off.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Paying that sewer millage off since we replaced it, and it now is for the roads.
Introduced one ordinance for debate next meeting on the 7th, ordinance amending the budget to reflect funds for canine narcotics grant. Sure, always happy to accept those grants.
We are, with a big thank you. And that's all that one was about.
And subdivision, abandonment of an easement.
Yes, an easement. The family, the property owners own the property because a few people were concerned were someone were we giving away property. No, they already own the property. This family actually had four lots, I believe. It's just to get rid of an easement that was unused because it's internal to the lot, so we never would have used it. There was nothing to put on it. But our people go check because people will call us all the time. Hey, you want to give me that street that you're not using? Hey, you know, whatever. We go check. If it's an easement that we could use in the future, we're not going to limit ourselves and give it up. If it's a street, a few streets in my time, I don't know since I've been the mayor, but I know prior when I was the pro tem, there were some streets that little connectors that weren't going to be used that were abandoned. I try to stay away from that. To me, if it's an asset and, you know, you can't see the future, if there's a potential that you can use it, the city should hold on to it. But in this case, we didn't give up any property. We just gave up a right-of-way that we weren't going to use.
Gotcha. And Kevin Zaring offered up a budget update. Anything out of the ordinary?
No,
there?
Pretty much tracking, you know, our percentages are tracking where they need to be. And if they're not, you know, like the police maybe were ahead some because of the crime camera purchased. You know, some things happen in different times of the year. Early on in the year, we saw some jumps that they were like early in the year, but at 25% because all their insurances come due at that time or because they made all their major equipment purchases early in the year. But as far as for every department, we are at this time tracking, you know, right where we need to be in the budget.
Yeah. And then an item that garnered a lot of discussion and, you know, a lot of I made the comment, I think, coming out of some of that discussion, talking about how appreciative I was that Pelican was so forthright in understanding the problems and how they're hoping to deal with them.
I will say they took their lick, you know, and they came in. I asked them to come to the meeting. All I told them was that we were having a discussion about Pelicans, and, you know, but the owner came. He brought his team with him. There are some issues. It's mostly with the bulky waste. With the garbage, there are times that they don't finish the route, and then they come back the next morning. They've never not come back.
Well, they didn't come back to me.
Okay, well, okay, there you go. I got one to document, and I will document.
Yeah, yeah, I get picked up on Tuesday normally,
right.
and 85% of the time it does, but then usually the next day.
Yeah.
It is. This time, as of this morning, it was still
okay,
there.
Well, I will turn that in when I get off the radio, but... Anyway,
and
but
I know
those
you probably got bigger things.
But those are the kind of things. That's why we had a big, lengthy discussion. I do have an option to fine them. I respectfully, in a polite way, kind of ask my counsel when they call those people direct, because they do sometimes. You know, you've got to send something to my office so that we can document it. Because I made it clear, in a, you know, not in an aggressive way, that one, my counsel needs to help me log all of the problems because I can fine them, and number two, we're going to give them a little while to get this straight, but it's not going to be long, and then we are going to invoke the contract, and if we have to, begin to fine them. There is new equipment coming in. I was glad to hear that. Some of it seemed to be kind of long delivery, which I understand. I mean, I've been waiting for a year and a half for a fire truck. We had a dump truck roll up the other day that was ordered 2 years ago. Like, I was laughing at him when he said that a garbage truck had rolled up and he forgot he ordered it. Well, we didn't forget about it, but I was like, oh, man, I got, where's that money? You know, because it was from 2 years ago. So I understand the delays in getting those kind of specialized big purchases, but he does have some equipment coming. I love the idea that he's talking about having some that would be automated, and he'd have a mixture of, you know, men on the truck, as he's doing now, rear loader, and the side loader, which would be totally automated. So we'll see. But the big issue I find, you know, is the bulky waste and some of it just being missed for way too long. I will say that his people are responsive, and when you talk to them, and every one of the council said the same thing, they will go and fix the problem. It's just it's taking too long for those problems to sit undiscovered, if you will. So I think he's taken some steps. I think he was sincere in his effort, and he was, like you said, he was very forthcoming of, you know, here's my issues. So let's hope they get that straight pretty quick.
Yeah, no doubt. So what would you tell citizens to do when they're having an issue? Would you rather them call the City Direct or Pelican Direct, or?
You know, if you want to know the real trick, it's probably both, okay? It's probably both. But when a pile's been out, like, I'll have people that call fuming mad, and it's been out for 3 weeks, sometimes a month. And to me, I'm saying, you know, they're supposed to pick that up every week. Please don't wait that long. You know, in other words, if they miss you for the week or the day that they pick up your garbage, they don't get your bulky waste. You know, I'm not saying give them a break and don't give them a few days, but, you know, if you're rolling into the second week, the third week, and it hadn't been picked up, don't wait. I mean, I go and kind of pick up stuff, and then there's not even any grass. I can't even say the grass is brown. There's no grass left. They got a dirt ring in the yard, you know. Well, it's been there too long. But I applaud people for being that patient, but I would say that if it's your week and you put the bulky, because they don't always pick up the garbage and the bulky waste at the same time, not even really the same day, but usually within the next couple of days. If that stuff's been out there and your route has passed and it's been the week and they haven't come, call it in. You know, you don't have to leave that and look at that for a month while you're getting, you know, madder and more aggravated about it. You know, give us a shot to get them to fix it. I can tell you that when I call Tommy T, and I don't really call everybody else. I know them all. They're all great people. I log in my problem, and then I call Tommy T because he's my rep. He's who the mayor is supposed to talk to. And then when my council calls me, when I do know about it, I make sure it's logged in. I pick up the phone and call Tommy T. District 5's got a problem with this. District 2's got a problem with that. You know, here's the addresses. He immediately rides out, immediately calls me back. Now, there are some instances that the trees are way too big. A tree man goes, people do it themselves, but the diameter of the tree is just too big. They can't even pick it up. And people do tend to put these giant pieces out. There are times that they say, if you recut them into the proper spec, we'll pick them up. There are other times they say, we're not doing it. I don't care how much you cut them up. The tree person was supposed to haul that off and probably charged you for that, okay? Get them back over here to pick it up. We've had some success lately with some people who put things out, and the police department found them and went to them and said, you know, one, you do it again, definitely. Number two, go move it all right now and dispose of it properly, or you're going to get charged. Now, once we have the cameras, which are coming, I think there's going to be some charges because then you can legitimately prove it. Sometimes the problem we have with this dumping, we had a big meeting about that this morning, is that even though the neighbor says it was so-and-so, you got to prove it. And if they don't have video, if the Ring doorbell doesn't have it, if there's no way to get it, it's one, even though you know they're not, you know, why would they lie about the man in the blue truck who threw the trash? I mean, they're not. But on the flip side, you know, legal's legal if you can't prove it. Lately, I've been having them go track them down and pay a visit to them anyway. And what I've been telling people is, you know, cameras are coming, and, you know, I can't prove this time, but if you, you know, you keep doing it, you're going to get caught.
Yeah.
And we will press charges. We're also looking at revamping, because it all kind of relates to garbage. We have discussions every month at our little informal ordinance meetings that we have of what to do with rental houses that the entire house is dumped on the sidewalk the next morning. And the trash is all jumbled and mixed and crazy, and then people start going through it, and it gets worse and worse. I think you're going to see that I don't think we have a choice. We're going to have to redo some of our ordinances and pick out some ordinances from, I think, 2004, maybe, that were put in place that maybe we haven't been enforcing. And so we are looking at coming up with a better strategy, and it's going to affect some people. We're gonna have to, you know, put some pressure on some people to do better. And empty lots are also another great problem, because people put things on empty lots. I can't go get them with Public Works, because they can't go on private property. If they happen to be right by the curb, I can pick them up, but that's just at a cost to the city that we're just eating out the general fund. Pelican's contract is per household. I could never afford that, a contract that included empty lots. So, but that's another issue. So we are working hard to figure some new ways to kind of attack some of this. But the bottom line is we need Pelicans to do what that contract says.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And the one discussion I didn't hear was about the American Rescue Plan Act project entitled Business Development Grants.
You missed it. That was probably an hour. It's fun. I'm not in a pickle, but we did not realize earlier in the year, we just realized about a month ago, we thought it was sufficient to say the funds are used for this, you know, let's say one block at a time, you know. I didn't know we had to have all 40 participants named by the end of this year. You don't spend the money till 26. Same thing with the business development. Well, we said the money's gone. We have $150,000. It's going to go to business development grants. You know, we haven't determined if it's going to be $3,000, $5,000, $7,500 a pop. We haven't determined that yet. But I thought that that was sufficient, and so did my clerk. Well, it's not. So we are. You will see us at almost every meeting finishing up a discussion and adopting an ordinance or a resolution probably on how to handle one of these while we start to discuss the next one, because I want to get them all done and I'm going to meet my deadline. This one's fun. This is one that we have $150,000 and the rules are not fleshed out yet, so don't hold me. I'm just going to give you kind of a generalization of what we're doing. So let's just say that you would have to be a business that has an occupational license. Okay, that's one of the big debates. And people express different opinions either way. We have to come up with a dollar amount. Now, just throw something out there. If you got $150,000, you do $7,500 a piece, you can do 20 businesses. Okay, we would like them in the category of a disadvantaged business, of a woman-owned business. You know, we're coming up with those parameters and our definitions of that. And we get to adopt, in some ways, we have to adopt what the ARPA says. In other ways, we will adopt, you know, how we want to structure it. We're going to have to think of the categories. It might be marketing. It might be an equipment purchase. It might be, what would be something else? Those are the two biggest ones. But we're going to define it. The other, not problem, but challenge is we have to spend the money. Mm. You know, we can't say, all right, Jeff, you got this new business. Here's $7,500. Tell me what you're going to do with it. We have too many strings for that because it's all federal dollars. It's going to be, Jeff, you tell me what you need for your business, and you go do some legwork. You're getting a grant. So go and get three prices for this new equipment that you need and come back, and then we're going to see who's the low bidder, and we're going to buy it. And you're going to get it.
Okay.
But you can't have the money. Because if you don't do it, how do I go? You know, imagine we have four or five categories of ARPA that are going to have to be handled this way. I can't spend all day, and my auditors and my finance people can't spend all day trying to track people down to see if they did the right thing. We have to do the right thing for them. But that's, I have no more staff, okay? That is creating much more work for the staff that I have. But it's well worth it because this is our only opportunity, probably in a history, the only one I can remember that we get to do some things one block at a time, helps people with their housing. This business development grant helps establish, have to be established for a year, legal businesses in New Iberia. The scholarship one, I'm meeting with SLCC, and we're going to come up with the parameters of that. So that's one that at $150,000, if you give each kid who's graduating high school $5,000, it pays for a year of SLCC. I mean, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking, making the rules on that one. We have one that mimics the state's demo that we've talked about, the $500,000 demo we've been talking about that people volunteer to say, I need this torn down.
Right.
We're going to have another $450,000. So that one was easy because I can just adopt the parameters from the state when we just did, and I think we're cool. But all of these kind of weird things for government to be involved in, we're making the rules. So you're going to see a lot more discussion. And that one was great. People came up with good ideas. They came up with do's and don'ts. They came up with conflicting ideas. Go figure. So what's going to happen is they're going to all email me their ideas, and then I'm going to take a stab at this is what I think we should do, and then bring it back to the council. And so you can bet there'll be more discussion, and then they're going to get to a point that it's going to be vote on, do you want this included? Vote on, do you not want this included? But what I'm hoping to do, and what we will do, is pass something that is been through the council, been transparent, been through the system, and then we'll implement the program. I still say for these business development grants, it's going to be kind of like Shark Tank. Some are going to get it and some aren't, because we would think we would have more need and more ask, you know, than we have money, and not everybody can get it. The way we're going to structure it with the stepping stones of what you have to have, some people probably won't get to answer number three because, you know, they don't have one of the requirements. So we'll just have to see. But in the end, you know, people just need to realize this is a one-time kind of oddball thing, but government is going to go into the communities and do some good. Well, how often do you get to do that? Not very. So I'm excited about it. I know that not every camper will be happy, and I know that some people will, you know, want it and not get it. And we are going to make sure that if we do it, because we're spending the money, that it goes to where it needs to go. We have one more, which is the neighborhood associations, and we have three active neighborhood associations. So you can't go start one to say I'm going to get some money. Okay, it's the three that have been working in the communities. They'll each get about $60,000. Again, they pick the project, then we handle it and pay for it. So it's going to be a lot of work over this year to get it all established, and I want to see how long it takes to get established. The easy ones will get done. Some of the ones that are going to be multi-stepped and a whole lot of complicated little projects, they might not be implemented till next year, but we have 25 and 26 to spend the money. But the important thing is to spend the time we have in this year is get them all structured, get all the reports in. I mean, I'm audited for $20. You know, we have some other things that people are talking about in the community. Can you help with this? Can you help with that? You know, I want to write a grant, and you can do this, that, and this with the money. You know, I call the auditors immediately. Can I do this and that? How is this structured? I mean, we haven't gotten in trouble yet, and I don't plan on it, but it's complicated.
Are these grants for businesses or property owners? Does the business have to own the property?
The way that we're working it has to. We haven't fleshed that out yet, but you'll have to. I think the majority, and I could be wrong, occupational license, 1 year in active business, like a real business. And I'm not saying you can't be a tenant in a building, but you have to operate in the city of New Iberia because there's no reason to do it if it's not. But it is to help an existing business. It's to have an impact in the community. And for me, the way I'm going to look at it, if you need that piece of whatever it was that we didn't even name it, but you need that piece of equipment, and we're putting up whatever the total is to buy that piece of equipment, I'm also trying to buy that piece of equipment in New Iberia. In other words, if you're going to do a baby economic development project, then you need to think about the town you're in, the community you're in, the business environment you're in, and try to do everything you can. You won't always be able to do that. But where we can also spend the money local, I think, is important.
Gotcha. All right.
But big discussion, and you're going to be a lot more of these, and they're going to get complicated. It makes it fun.
There you go.
And we want to do it if it's easy.
There you go. Anything out of the council remarks of note?
No, we were also warned out. There was not a lot of, you know, you can see that. That goes out the window. That dwindles pretty quick as we have these hour-long discussions. You know?
Understood. A couple of updates on a couple of projects.
Sure.
You mentioned the cameras, crime cameras first.
Yes.
Any update there?
Sure. Well, the first 25 cameras, they had a little, not problem, but a little delay, as usual, in getting a part that goes in that box. They got them. We have 23 of the cameras of the pole locations. Poles are up, and they're energized. There were three more that needed to be energized, and that was working between Clico and an electrical contractor. That got done. So it won't be long. Those first cameras will go up. In the meantime, the crime camera center is just about finished. Everything's hung on the wall. They're running through the bugs. So by the time those first 25 cameras are up, we have a crime analyst. We have someone hired. Those will go hot. The rest of them, we've been going back and forth with. It looks like Clico is now has worked a deal and come down on everything and worked with us. And we will be able to utilize their poles.
Good.
And that has taken weeks of time and negotiations and back and forth. We have a rough agreement. I'm ready to sign it. They are finishing it up. I signed one already and sent it in, and there were too little bit of changes. So I had to go back through a couple of week cycle, it seems like. But that agreement, it's important that that gets signed. In the meantime, not to waste time, Clico's engineering has been going out to make sure there's power, to make sure the poles are in a location they can service. And now we have a list. I don't think it's that many. I'll know by tomorrow or Monday for sure of locations that we want cameras that we don't have poles. So in the meantime, I bid out poles so I could be ahead of the game. And Clico is low to furnish a pole and install the pole.
Okay.
So that's kind of good that I'm cohesive, that I'm back in that Clico system, and it's, and the price is right. So all of those things are taking place, and should be, hopefully, by Monday I can sign, and then we can put all that in motion. The rest of the cameras are being produced because they're not ready yet. I mean, we just ordered them.
Right, right. And you planned on this,
A
wave of 25 at a time or something?
Yes, yes. So I just want the first wave to land. But they're coming, and we are steady working on it. It's taken a lot of time and effort, but, man, it's going to be worth it.
Gotcha. And how about the traffic cameras and the radar? Those issues seem to have leveled off.
It's somewhat yes, somewhat no. The lights have become an issue. Each light in the school zone, all those lights are the school board's responsibility.
You mean the flashing yellows?
The flashing light.
You know.
And that has caused some confusion. But the school board has been timing them and getting them corrected and getting them where they need to be. For the most part, it's gotten better. I'm hoping that it stays on track, like I think, and like the data that was shown to me from other communities, that by the end of the year we're given less and less tickets. And it already has dropped. I'm just hoping the drop continues.
Yeah.
I would like to get it where people are just slowing down, and, you know, I don't care if we ever give another ticket. I'm sure that company has a different opinion, but that's their problem. I mean, you know, hopefully. But I see, you know, I pass North Lewis every morning of my life. That's how I leave to go to City Hall. And I certainly see people slowing down. I rarely, although a work truck, you can tell, I don't know where we're from, they barreled through and passed us all up one day this week. I know they got a ticket. But for the most part, I see citizens slowing down. I see them slowing down when the lights aren't flashing. I see them slowing down at all points of the day. So what is that, Pavlov's dog, you know? I mean, they are being conditioned to slow down at school zones, which I think is great. I mean, that was the whole point of this.
Yeah.
So do we still have some issues? I'm sure we will always have some, you know, someone with an issue. We have the appeals process, and people are utilizing that, and that's a good thing. I know they had one hearing. I think another hearing's coming up this month. I think we'll have a hearing every month because, you know, people are going to want to hear their say, and, you know, how that ends up is fine. I also still have been watching Senate Bill 21 to see what happens with that on a state level, because if all those – I think there's two different bills. But if that went through, then I would have to make a call to those people to come pick up their cameras.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm at this point, you know, been through the ringer on this.
I love that the state right now is putting up cameras on I-10 as the legislature is
to take them down,
reversing what they did 2 years ago.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. So that's interesting. But I mean, hey, if they say take them down, let's take them down, and I'm fine either way. I am hoping that if they do take them down, the lesson was learned, and we still slow down in the school zones, because that's all I ever really wanted. Anyway, but so that's still moving, and I am very curious to see what happens with that bill.
Yeah. I like trying to explain to people the idea that the speed limit signs, the signs that show how fast you're going, is a different radar.
It is.
Than
it's not, yeah. All that
the one
does,
that tickets you.
And I practice with that and look at that. Okay, when I turn the corner on the Louisville Road, you're not going to get a ticket till you get to the school zone sign. And it shows how fast you're going at that time. And it picks you up. If it's not confused by four lanes of traffic and all kind of people, it's still going to pick you up. And if you watch it, it does pick you up. But, like, if you're by yourself and you're doing 32 miles an hour and you just know you're going to jam it to 22 when you get close to it, because every once in a while I do that just to see, it picks you up and the speed is accurate. When you have a car coming behind you and you're already doing, because I set my cruise. I just learned my lesson that I don't want to be embarrassed. If I get one, believe me, I'm going to pay it, and I'm not going to appeal it. but I'd rather not get one. So my attitude is when I turn the corner of the Louisville Road, I got a little marker. I hit my cruise, and that's when I hit my cruise and switch to 22 miles an hour. That's what I set it at. And I go through at 22 miles an hour, okay, every time. So, but as I'm going 22, it shows 22. The guy behind me is still doing 30-something. At some point, it's switched from my Jeep truck to his truck or whoever, a car, whatever, and then all of a sudden you see 32 or 29. And you say, well, I'm only doing 22. It's the person behind you. And if you look in your rearview mirror, you know, I see him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying it's always right, because I do see and have seen the videos that nothing's on the road and it's just sitting there blinking all kind of crazy stuff. It didn't do anything wrong because nothing was on the road, and they keep telling me that it recalibrates itself when a car comes. But you can get some funky video. I mean, I've seen it, you know. I sent it to them. You can get some funky video every once in a while that it's, you know, nothing's in the road at all, and it's picking something up.
Yeah.
But, like I said, we have a process. I think it's, you know, we've tried to be transparent with the whole thing. It has been an adventure that I never expected. I won't lie to you. So if they stay, we will continue to do them. If they go away, well, I'll just call the company to come pick them up.
Gotcha. Any other project updates?
I'm trying to think. You know, Pepperplex, we had our first tournament.
I've got to tell you, and I heard some good reviews.
It went well. We still have some kinks to get out the system. There were a couple of little hiccups here and there. The kind of exit interview was that people would come back, which is good. I feel kind of validated in waiting as long as we did, because we got a lot of pressure and a lot of bricks thrown at us that, you know, why aren't you open? Why aren't you letting, you know, the fields are done? Why aren't you? And I kept saying, we got to get the kinks out of it. We've got to get our staff right. We have other things to do that were not paid for by the capital outlay. You know, let us get it ready. So we felt for the first time that it was ready, with knowing that it wasn't, you know, nothing's perfect. But it went well. That kind of encouraged the staff and got me kind of fired up that, you know, we're gonna succeed at this. Plans are starting. We finally got approval, and plans are starting on the next phase, which is $1.5 million. So that's getting fleshed out.
Taxes coming in as hoped.
Taxes are coming in right where we thought they would be. It's pretty much exactly where we need it. And then we asked for, haven't got that yet, capital outlay. You know, divvying up that money is going to be the last thing they do in Baton Rouge in session. You know, they don't do it at the beginning. So we'll wait and see. We have asked for $1 million more. And I really think that with the 1.5 and the next million, if we're lucky to get that, we're going to be in pretty good shape and have a ballpark we can be proud of. No, you can knock me all you want. Actually, somebody... a person who had a business in the downtown, because I like to look at all this, but I don't comment. I just like to come on your show and talk about it. That's just my weird thing. So some person who had a business in downtown I was just like, you know, a terrible leader, terrible administrator, terrible government, because we had all of those New Iberia taxes on the ballot. Well, all of them are parish-driven. None of them are for the city. I got a kick out of that. And then I guess because when you're mad at somebody, or even if it's not real, you got to kick them about something else. And so this person started kicking us about the Pepperplex and that we weren't Youngsville. Well, we don't have the tax base as Youngsville. We're not a new community like Youngsville. And you're right. We don't have a recreation tax to spend $30 million on a ballpark. We took an old ballpark.
Although I did hear this tournament, and correct me if I'm wrong, it was originally scheduled,
oh, yeah,
I think, for Bruce.
Yeah. It was.
And they moved it over here.
It was. It was. So there's some benefits to that. And we're going to get spillover. I'm never going to knock Broussard and Youngsville and every other town that has a park. I love them all, because we're going to get spillover games. You know, why be a jerk? But the comparison of something that the city took over, what, a year and a half ago? Two years ago, tops? Yeah. So something that the city has just started to be able to spend money on and improve, compared to something that's established in a community that, let's face it, both Broussard and Youngsville have way more tax opportunities than we do, with the highways, with the interstate, with the amount of oil field businesses. I have no problem saying that. They're wealthier communities. So with that, and they're smaller, so they don't have as many problems. And they're newer.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially Youngsville. So with that, yeah, I got kicked about the Pepperplex and all these taxes that we put. Well, I just want to clear that up, that, you know, people vote as you need to vote, and that's why we have a system. And I always say, even when I get my butt kicked, we got the best system in the world. And I'm consistent with that, even when I don't like to say it. But We don't have any taxes on the ballot this time generated from the city.
But there are things for new Iberia residents to vote for.
Of course. Please go vote. Exercise your right to vote. But don't kick me that we put those things on the ballot. But anyway, that's just for another day. It's just fun.
There you go. Anything else?
No, sir.
Before we let you go, Spanish Festival.
Get out and enjoy.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
This is what makes us unique. I heard a story this morning about some people from Oregon who've been here 3 or 4 times, and now they want to live here. And somebody asked them why, and they said, because y'all got all these festivals, and y'all got stuff going on all the time. I don't think we realize. I had a big conversation with the sculptor, Shirley, who did James Lee Burke sculpture. She brought some friends. They came for the weekend. She's been very positive on Facebook and, you know, message. And, you know, just what an amazing. I think when you come from somewhere else and look at it with a new set of eyes, oh, we got problems. Every community got problems. But I don't think we always appreciate the amount of stuff we have, the amount of activities, the amount of fairs and festivals, and just the culture that we have here. And everyone has said, which I know that's our asset, it's our people. Everyone has said, you know, you don't meet a stranger here. You walk down the street and people talk to you. You walk down the street and, you know, sometimes you can't get rid of us. But even the people from Spain, they were like, this place is, you know, these people have never been here from another country. And they're just like, man, you know, y'all got some cool people. Y'all have people that, you know, are pretty laid back and are friendly and open. I think we forget about that sometimes. You know, we just take it for granted because we live it every day.
Gotcha. I've got an email from Jane, something about a group that's coming in next weekend, part of the Chaffly Basin, something.
Chaffly, that's this afternoon.
Oh, that is
Yeah,
today.
We have people coming in today.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
They'll be in our downtown. We have a dinner lined up for them. We rented the Bazoos building.
Oh, that's what the Rotary
yeah.
got.
Yeah.
You mentioned that.
That's coming. And again, that's people that aren't from here. They're coming. They go to a lot of main streets and. Let's hope we put the dog on for him today.
There you go. Always a pleasure.
Oh,
appreciate
always
you coming by.